Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. 40 Years to Life by Brenda Bradford Ward is a vivid description of a life in hiding very few people ever will experience. Society errs either on the side of lax and harmful permissiveness or of harsh and destructive suppression regarding gender identity conflict. What it is and how best to deal with it are questions we must be addressing. These questions are central to the book 40 Years to Life. Ms. Ward grew up in a house full of music and a family focus on small-town retail banking. She, too, devoted herself to finance for decades with a finance concentration MBA and a career in financial services. But she always felt a compulsion to pretend secretly to be someone else, suppressed. It took decades for her to approach transition. Once begun, transition was unstoppable. Years later, she examined her experience in the fallacy of assignable gender. And beginning a new life as a PhD student in sex and gender psychology, she seized the opportunity to revisit her earlier work, and she completed 40 Years to Life. Recommended, by the way, by the U.S. Review of Books, and author Brenda Bradford Ward is back with us on This Week in America. Brenda, welcome back to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
It's so good to be here to talk with you.
So much to talk about, and a lot has happened since the last time that you were with us, and not necessarily all of it on a positive note. Let's start off by talking about the political climate out there now and how that has changed and what impact that has on you, knowing what you went through. And I thought we were making some progress as a society, and I'm questioning that now. What is your thoughts on all of the political discussions, especially in our home state now of Florida?
Oh, yes. And it is so horrible. So many parents seem to be concerned that somehow their children will become infected with some doubt, question, whatever about their gender identities. I think all adolescents and teens go through some period of trying to figure out where their place in life is.
Yes.
But gender identity is such a fundamental characteristic of who someone is. I was talking with a friend, a physician, actually, recently, and I the idea that somehow there is a fungible aspect to identity, I don't believe that at all. We don't question whether we're right-handed or left-handed. We just are. And this has nothing to do with sexual or partner preference, but everything to do with, on a desert island 1,000 miles from the nearest anything. Who are we? And that's really what gender identity is about. It's not whether I have a uterus or not. Although I did see something recently where supposedly a transgender or transgendered, and I'd love to talk about that difference, individual said she was seeking a uterine implant of some sort for the purpose of having an abortion, which is almost unfathomable.
Yes.
It's almost as though I want my taste buds enhanced somehow so I can spit out food.
Exactly.
There are some really strange ideas out there. And from a statistical standpoint, and so much of psychology seems to be about that, but tests and measurements and whatever. But at least for parametric or non-parametric statistics, we expect over 99%, slightly over 99% of the curve to be within 3 standard deviations of the mean. And there's nothing mean about that. But statistically speaking, we know what a standard deviation is, and when we look at that as regards gender identity, we know there's going to be a wide area under that curve, and I think an awful lot of people have trouble defining just what it is to be masculine or feminine. But it reminds me of the Supreme Court justice who said he wasn't sure what it was, but he knew it when he saw it. Of
Yes,
course,
yes.
he was talking about pornography, but as far as what Florida is doing and some other districts, actually some religions are doing, they're suggesting, and maybe it's a little stronger than that, but that if there's a conflict, it just be suppressed, and somehow the person will grow out of it. And I mean, it is very much like expecting somebody who's right-handed to grow out of it and become
Yes.
ambidextrous or
Well, I
absurd.
mentioned that you were suppressed. I mentioned that in the beginning, and that's an interesting word. Does suppression work? Because yes, what you're saying is a number of these people are like, just suppress it. In 6 months, you'll be fine.
I so vividly remember a discussion. Well, it was so important to me. When I think I was five, and I was wearing my sister's dresses, and mother said that my dad didn't want me to do that anymore. And it was like some vault door or something closing that I was
Yes.
no longer going to be able to be who I was. I had a high school friend when she was a grandmother, one of her grandchildren wanted to wear a skirt in the house. But if a friend was coming over, the skirt came off and slacks went back on or shorts or whatever. But so that child had learned to keep a secret. Not necessarily, not from his mother or his grandmother, but her, but certainly from friends. And that's one of the, it's survival, I guess, but it's one of the things we pick up earliest on what is expected of us and the
Yes.
high price we'll pay if we don't fit that norm.
Well, what is the high price you'll pay if you deny it, if you keep that secret? That's interesting. That doesn't change anything, keeping a secret, does it?
Exactly. From a psychological standpoint, we can run away from everybody else, but we can't run away from ourselves.
Yes.
And we know that there's something there, and it won't leave us alone. I think there's a lot in the Christian faith that is like that. And some people have talked about their attempt to essentially kind of run away from God. And they can't do it. He loves us, and so there is a saving grace there that I you know, if there are people beheading babies and killing mothers who have just given birth, I mean, the people doing that clearly have turned away from any civilized, I think,
Yes.
definition of our faith and God. And yet, God doesn't give up on them. I think to their last breath, he is still trying to reach out to them as a mother would to a child or father.
Yes. Our guest on the program is Brenda Bradford Ward. Her book is 40 Years to Life. The book is available wherever books are sold, barnesandnoble.com, Amazon. it's really an important read. I think the conversation we're having is an important one today, because you wonder when you hear all the news stories, you read the headlines, what harmful impact this has on someone like you, if we go back the decades to what you were going through. How difficult, how harmful is it when you hear people talking about you? They're not talking about people. They're just talking about things, in many cases, to score a political point.
And I would have been one of the most ardent deniers, at least in public, even though I knew I was dressing secretly. It became actually my most closely guarded secret, and no one in my family, in church, no dear friend, anything. I just would not open that door at all. And that's how powerfully we suppress these things ourselves. And that's the state of Florida is saying to children, just don't talk about it. Just pretend it's not there. Just keep it a secret. And it's a horrible way to live. And I don't mean that every waking moment from the time I was born that I was miserable, but I did not live the life I could have led if I were wholly one person.
What do you say to people who say, you know, I'm confused? Parents, for example, how can I be certain the gender identity conflict is medically diagnosable, treatable? I hear that. But many mental professionals, mental health professionals disagree. How does a parent sort through all of that conflicting information out there?
And it is conflicting and confusing.
Yes.
I probably have a little more faith than I should have in the medical community's accurate diagnosis, partly because the tools used are so crude. They rely for psychiatrists and psychologists on the practitioner's ability to discern whether there really is conflict there or not. And in my experience, there was no question I think any medical professional might have asked and gotten an honest answer about that conflict I was hiding. I had to be willing to talk about it. And once I did that, there was no going back for me.
Yes.
And I think most conflicts are like that. And mental health professionals will tell you that the conflict does not necessarily determine once it is faced realistically. It doesn't have to be resolved a particular way. But it's a little bit like saying, well, there's water there, but you don't have to swim.
Exactly. Yes.
Really. It seems kind of rather absurd. As I was rethinking some of my earlier decisions and something like functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRIs, there were some individuals in France who tried to do a study of fMRIs for transgendered people, for gay, lesbian, and normal, quote, quote, normal, male and female. And of course, they don't know if they're talking to somebody they think is normal, whether that person is actually heterosexual or suppressing something. They certainly did. They discerned a difference, but they weren't certain of the reason for the difference. In other words, did the study of the brain as they were functioning, did people behave a certain way because I have to use my hands, of course. did they behave a certain way because they were transgendered or Were they transgendered first, and that's why they were behaving that way? In other words, it's not a circular argument. Does acknowledging gender identity confusion of some sort cause a difference in the brain that was being measured? So that certainly is possible. But what I think is a more realistic and possible test is gene mapping. Certainly when well over 99% of the population is quote cisgender. The problem is we're dealing with almost 8 billion people on the planet now. So 1% of 8 billion people is a lot. Actually, what, two or three times the population of the United States?
Yes.
But when there is that predominance of cisgender, is the term, people whose gender identities and physical cells are constant, in those instances, there should be a very firmly established standard that a part of DNA would show that if you're male, you have this number. If you're female, you have this number. And it doesn't, that doesn't mean that there is only one, or there's no such thing as intersex or whatever, but it does mean that there is a standard model that most people, well over 90% of the population fit. So it should be glaringly obvious if we have a DNA sample that does not match that norm. And this is new. I don't know of anyone else being at all inquisitive about this and attempting to use DNA analysis as a tool. And but obviously, if DNA analysis were an elegant tool for diagnosis, it also would point to a means of curing. Gender identity conflict might no longer exist, and that would be ideal. I think if we tested every child, that might eliminate gender identity conflict, but it would be horribly expensive. I think if this were used as a tool at all, it would be done where there seemed to be a possible gender identity conflict, in which case there would be a test. And the physician friend I was talking with said, well, what happens if somebody fails the test, so to speak, or if those genes somehow are not expressed and they would indicate gender identity conflict, but it doesn't exist? Well, you wouldn't be doing a test. You'd only be doing the test. I think that's the answer to that first question. And then he didn't have a lot of time to think about all the permutations of where this might go, but it would be absolutely marvelous to have a definitive diagnostic so that we didn't have people like the Tavistock situation in Britain, where they were doing gender identity conflict surgical interventions apparently inappropriately. And some of what I had seen about that indicated that people were not gender conflicted, but the mental health professional would decide, no, you can't be gender identity conflicted because you're too tall, or you have the wrong, the wrong bone structure or whatever. And that's absurd. Because we're talking about it's what's between the ears, not any other part of our body. And incidentally, I think what transgendered or gender identity conflict actually refers to might be called brain sex. I think some people have called it that. But it also seems to me that if we're going to call it brain sex, it's got to be the most important part of sex, at least regarding another person.
Yes.
how could you promise to be, how could a husband promise to be his wife's male partner without the essential equipment to be that? And we know about those horrendous hormonal drives as adolescents or teens, but it was Stephen Ambrose, the historian, who said that mankind was born with enough brain power to run one organ or the other, but not both. And he said that on public radio, I believe it was.
Wow.
hormones are undeniably powerful, and we're relying on them to try to change to make our gender identities and physical selves the same. But it's your turn.
Well, you know, I'm just absorbing all that you're saying, and it's so powerful. Our guest is Brenda Bradford Ward. The book is 40 Years to Life, book available at Barnes & Noble, the usual places, published by PennCultureSolutions.com. Brenda, we need hours, not minutes, to talk about this, and it's gone by so quickly. I've got a minute or so left here at the end of the program. When we throw terms out there, you mentioned transgendered and all of the different terms. Do we get those right, or do we all sort of make these interchangeable? We just throw them out there.
Well, I think HuffPost was primarily responsible for attempting to remove transgendered from the lexicon, from the vocabulary. We don't normally remove words from our language, but the ED does refer to something that happened. Yes. And I think it's demonstrably in the case of every transgendered person that the gender identity conflict is real and has been there from the very beginning, from earliest memories and whatever.
Yes.
And it's something that a transgendered person has to reveal, because nobody else is going to perceive it. Transgender is something that can be readily perceived. Some difference in appearance, behavior, language, whatever. And there are transgender things, especially in popular music, where there are some intentional confusion about men wearing eye makeup or whatever. The Rocky.
Picture show. Yeah, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, thank you. That seemed to be a light turning on for an awful lot of people that maybe folks did not have to behave in a certain way. Certainly you could behave in a certain way if you were on stage in that performance.
Well, yeah, exactly, yes. But the time has gone by so quickly, and we've just barely scratched the surface of something that's so important. And the book is important to read, 40 Years to Life by Brenda Bradford Ward. Book available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, publisher PennCultureSolutions.com. Brenda, let's do this again. It's the second time you've been with us. Way too long. We'll definitely do another follow-up here. But so much, and I really hope that we make some progress again. It seems like we've lost our traction, and we need to move forward as a nation. And discussions, thoughts from people like you were so important and crucial to our conversation. Thank you for taking the time to spend with us.
So good talking with you, Rick.
Same here, and we will do it again. So much more to talk about. Brenda's book is 40 Years to Life by Brenda Bradford Ward. Book available at Barnes & Noble, at Amazon, publisher PennCultureSolutions.com, and information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And that's the program you're listening to. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.